Adam Mason knows a thing or two about what it takes to lead high-performing FM teams and, more importantly, how to support them for the long haul. As Deputy Director at the University of Portsmouth, Adam oversees estates, facilities and corporate health and safety across a major institution, but his career spans far beyond education. With 13-plus years of FM experience under his belt, from pure gym to B&Q to high-growth tech environments, he's built and led teams through just about every operational challenge in the book. He's here to share how FM leaders can better support their workforce and get honest about what's working, what's broken, and how we can rethink the FM workforce before burnout becomes business as usual. Adam, welcome to the FM Fix.
Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. It's great to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you too.
So, where did it all start and how did you get into FM?
For me, it was a journey. There wasn't a direct route into FM. So I started studying my accountancy when I was an office junior for Blue Circle Cement. I moved into the pensions department and pensions accounts. Realised that was not for me at all. And, you know, then went into selling pumps for a pump company, moving into water distribution, started working with large hotels like the Lanesbury in London. And, you know, then thinking, how do I build a career? Because I've had some very good jobs. Yeah. And I stumbled on searching all of the criteria. Good financial acumen, hands-on approach, customer-focused skill set. And I was, okay, FM popped up. And that's when suddenly it sort of dawned on me that this would be an opportunity. So I actually applied for my first FM role with Inditex, Zara, the retail company.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's where it started. I got that job and never looked back. And it's just gone from career progression to career progression and moving forward. And I think it was just that very practical sort of ABC problem-solving skills that I've always had that led this on to being a career for me.
Yeah, everybody just seems to fall into FM, don't they?
Yeah, I think once you've started sort of thinking about your own skill sets and the direction, you know, it gives you a great career.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you've got to be hands-on and sort of a master in everything, but not necessarily an expert in anything. And that allows you to sort of hone your skills into an FM. And then with, obviously, the professional training and qualifications, you start really seeing that there's a very wide market to be able to move into.
Nice. What do you think of the biggest workforce challenges that FM leaders are facing right now?
So I find this one really interesting because we always talk about skill shortage.
Yeah.
We always talk about an aging workforce.
Yeah.
But then we're in control of fixing that problem. So what are we actually doing as leaders within our business to actually change that?
Yeah.
We seem to be sitting there waiting for one of the governing bodies and someone else to start fixing what is probably from a technical aspect, an aging workforce. But actually, you know, we're in control of bringing on new talent. So sometimes, you know, one of the things that we've just done, we've had a role out for a very long time, not being able to fill that role.
Yeah.
So I can break that down into two more junior roles, offer them career apprenticeships, and actually study through the university, which I guess is a gift for me because I'm at a university.
Yeah.
But also bring on two young people into the industry. So we can make that difference. So sometimes rather than struggling and going through the same process of trying to find absolutely someone with the knowledge, the skill sets and everything today, why not think, okay, that might be the easy route for today, but does that make it easier in the future? And then bring on some junior roles within the function and within the team and then train them through, because that is how you're going to reduce the skill gap and obviously improve on the aging workforce.
Would you say there was a reluctance in doing that then in the industry? Is it maybe because reputation's on the line or...
You know, yes, it's very difficult
yeah.
To you know, everybody wants to make their lives easier.
Mm.
Bringing someone with skill into the business makes your life easier. You know, bringing someone in that you've got to mentor, train, and pull through and build a career with them is obviously more challenging.
Yeah.
But actually, it's only more challenging in the short term. Because if you've invested that time and energy into someone, you know, you get the payback at the end. I think too many people are worried about once you've given that time and energy to someone, they then decide to leave your business and go off and further their career elsewhere.
Yeah.
But that only happens if you don't give them the opportunities to grow and succeed and improve within your own organization.
Yeah.
So you can change the direction of an aging skill set yourself, but unfortunately I think people aren't doing that, so it's not creating the opportunities, and then fundamentally we keep having the same argument. I think if everybody had apprenticeships and you know, office juniors as they used to be in my time working within their business, the skill shortage would soon disappear.
And I guess that leads us on to this question, which is how can FM leaders start building a culture that truly supports their people and not just the performance?
Again, I think there's two sides to this. One, you've got to make it about the people.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's visibility. So I think as a leader, you have to be really visible. Mm. And that can sometimes be really challenging in larger organizations, especially with multiple different teams working, not just office-based, but on the shop floor.
As I
call it. So getting out and doing floor walks, going out and greeting people, making sure that you have team meetings that include everybody rather than just your management team or just the people that are sat around you within the office space. Make sure you get out and share your vision. Make sure that you get out there and share the program of works that you're working on. Share your strategy, you know, with the shop floor and show them how they can actually contribute to that strategy. So you actually got to really make it about the people, not just lip service that, quite frankly, you know, it's going to go through your managers, it's going to go through your supervisors, and you tell them, and it's kind of that snowball further down. I think you've got to do it yourself. I think you've got to try and connect with all of your team and actually show them why their job adds value, because it does all the way across the board.
Absolutely. Yeah, good. And what sort of qualities are you looking for when you're looking for someone to join your facilities team?
It's an interesting one, because I think one of the challenges in FM is the level of work that you've got to do. Yeah, it always will be.
Mm.
You are on 24/7. You know, there isn't a downtime. You know, the businesses are always open. Businesses are always operating. You know, people are always within the buildings. So, you know, when people say resilience, you know, I kind of also take that as a bad thing, because resilience means you've got to fight against something and you've got to build a wall.
Yeah.
So you've got to find someone that has a real calm, practical mindset.
Mm.
One that doesn't have too many emotions up and down, left and right, purely because they'll get information from so many directions that they've got to sort of calmly take that on board and process it. And I think that's a challenge.
Mm.
Also, you've got to find people that really have a strong work ethic. It's challenging. You know, you are going to be doing 40, 50, 60 hours a week. So you've got to look at that. As an individual, you know, you've got to first look at that skill set of problem solving, you know, calm emotions, and then everything else can be trained.
Mm.
You know, there's nothing we do, and I always use the term, nothing we do is rocket science. And generally, someone's done it before.
Mm.
So actually, if we've got somebody that can handle the amount of information that's coming to them, handle the amount of emotion that's coming towards them, because obviously what we do is very emotional for other people, and then can still think logically and still think in a very processed manner about how can I help these people and actually truly want to help the person.
Yeah.
Because that's also a massive skill set that's, I think, sometimes missing in the engineering side, is the actual care for the human person you're trying to fix a problem for. Once you've got those sort of skill set base, I think you can literally become any.
I suppose it could be perceived quite a lonely place at times when the pressure is on. But I think what you're describing there is relationships, communication are equally as important.
But I think the only way you success in business is through relationships and communication.
Yeah.
You know, FM is a prime example. You're there to help the business become successful. You're there to solve problems for people. Mm. But you're also there to solve problems before they become a problem. You know, and that is what a good FM really does, is understands what the business is doing, understands what's impacting the business, and then actually starts proactively putting actions in place to so those pain points and those issues never actually arise. So you've got to understand the wider subset of the company you're working for and the people. So it's all, you know, let's be honest, someone comes to you with an idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's our job to turn it into a reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and also, if there's a problem, our job is to fix it.
Yeah.
But it's much more exciting to be on the flip side of that,
yeah,
where people come to you with ideas and you're enabling them to be successful. And that's what we're there for with a business.
Love it. Love it. And how do we make FM, the industry, much more appealing for this next generation?
At the moment, I think there's too many people trying to make FM something it's not. Far too complex, probably far too academic in some situations, and taken away from its roots. And I think when you start layering complexity over messaging, you know, it can turn people off.
Yeah.
Because they're thinking they have to have this great education. They're thinking that they have to come in with degrees and they have to have technical expertise. And realistically, that's not true. You know, they can support you, absolutely. But if you're talking around care and you're talking around a job where you're adding value to other people and then you're adding value to businesses now, and also looking after things like sustainability, you know, reducing the carbon footprint of a business, and the diversity of areas of the business you can work in, I mean, that's a very different conversation than, quite frankly, toilets and repairs and all the other things that come into it. Yes, that is always going to be a part of what we do. But actually, you know, we're there as an enabler for business. And I think we should be focused on giving that message out to the younger generation and also showing them. We don't open the doors very easily to people to come into the departments, as we spoke about earlier, with regards to bringing on junior office workers, people without necessarily formal training, and giving them that training in what we do. I think once we've sorted those out and we talk about it as more people than buildings, you'll start opening up a lot more doors for youngsters wanting to come into the business.
Good. And what practical steps can leaders take over the next 12 months to support their teams through change and challenges?
Again, go back to it. It's kind of sitting there on their shoulder, being shoulder to shoulder with them, helping them understand where the market's going. Obviously, there's lots of conversations about AI at the moment, IoT, the way that software is going to change what we're going to be doing on a day-to-day basis. But it's always going to be supported by a very practical mindset. So if we talk about an aging workforce and then technology coming in, the two are at conflict before you even start.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
When we're talking about bringing youngsters in without necessarily the technical skill sets, you know, that can be quite daunting to suddenly be thrown into a very large organization with very complex buildings and structural setup. And then having to adopt technology becomes part of that. So I think try and keep things simple. Yep. Understand and show them how you build the basics first. And once you've got really good basics working, you can start overlaying what the future really holds. And then, you know, allow them access to, I mean, so much training out there. Allow them access to it. Get them to understand it. You know, take them on the journey, because people also have a lot of misconceptions of what's really happening in FM. So when we talk about BIM as an example, there's a massive misinformation out there. You know, BIM is just a process that you follow. It's not technology. It's not this. Yeah. It's about sharing of information between two groups of people. And I think there's a misconception of some of the terminology that we do use.
Okay. So we've got a closing tradition on the FM Fix. We have some quick fire questions. We know FMs are really good at putting out fires.
Yeah.
So we call this the FM Fix reactive round.
Okay.
Okay. So what's one thing people always get wrong about facilities management?
They think it's buildings.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually just people.
Yeah.
You know, and ideas. So as we talked about earlier, you know, yes, buildings will always be part of what we do. You know, that's the sort of core function of managing our buildings. But actually, it's the users within those buildings. So that could be your staff members, that could be students, that could be shoppers. You know, that's actually what you're focusing on. You know, is to make them have the most enjoyable experience they can have when they're using the building. So people think it's about management and compliance of buildings. It's not. It's about supporting and enabling people.
Perfect. What would be your advice to those just starting out their careers in FM?
Be really curious. Enjoy the different areas that FM can bring you into within a big organisation and a small organisation. Try and learn what the business is really about. And actually, then you'll start building how you can help it. Don't wait till the problems come to your door. Actually, be the person they come to help solve the problems before they even arise. That is what a great FM is.
What's your biggest FM fail? The moment you can laugh at now, but definitely you couldn't do it at the time.
So I've been quite lucky. I don't have many FM...
Oh, come on.
No. I don't have many FM fails. I'm not going to stop there.
Yeah.
But I don't have many FM fails because I've always joined businesses where we're reconstructing and we're rebuilding the FM services.
Yeah.
But my biggest fail was the first time I was put into quite a senior management role. So I remember going back to Inditex. You know, it was a very different culture. You know, it's a Spanish heritage of a business, and I've come from a very English type based business, you know, and there was, for my mind, it needed a bit more control. You know, why are these people going off and having lunch breaks at, you know, 10:30 and having tea and coffee? And I tried to bring a level of sort of what I would say formal governance to the team. I lost the team. Failed miserably at that. Yeah, it wasn't the right culture. I hadn't thought about how that fits within the wider picture of the business. There was so many multinational people within the company. I tried to put, you know, my learning experience through my first times at work into a room of people that had never experienced that before. So then when you start doing that, you're not listening to the people, you're not listening to the group, and that's when you lose them. So my biggest fail that I look back on now is probably not that I can laugh about it now, but actually it was one of the things that stuck with me throughout my career, is you've got to understand the people within the business.
Yeah.
And sometimes just that old-fashioned, you know, work ethic doesn't exist anymore. And that's probably a good thing. And you have to adapt with it and move forward.
Great. Well, Adam, thank you very much for joining us on the FM Fix. Have you enjoyed the chat?
It's been an absolute pleasure. And it's good to see you all again. So yeah, absolutely great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much.